Psalm 66, 4. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. They're not going to be doing this in hell. Pretty hard to sing when your toes are getting singed. Well, the song might be an interesting song, but it wouldn't be the song of the Lamb. Psalm 67. Let's read the entire psalm. It's short. God be merciful unto us and bless us. Remember, I believe this is the Abrahamic blessing. He's going to bless us for a purpose. Remember, God said he would bless Abraham? Well, what was the purpose? So that in his seed, all the families of the earth could be blessed. Well, here's a psalm about this. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Verse 2 gives the purpose. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Now here is us versus them. The prayer is to bless us so that we can bless all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Yeah, Selah. Think about this. Think about this. Let's do the Selah thing and look at that again. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously. You know something? When God judges the earth, the people are going to rejoice. Normally, we hear exactly the opposite. God is coming and boy, is he mad. And he's going to take everybody and throw them in hell, and boy, are they ever going to be screaming and hollering then. Then they'll get what they deserve. David understood something a little different. The nations will be glad and sing for joy when God judges the earth and governs the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The purpose of God's blessing a small group of people called Israel is to bless the ends of the earth and the rest of the earth. It's not exclusive blessings. It's an exclusive calling to bless all other nations. That's what it is. Psalm 68, verses 17 and 18. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Boy, does that mess up people's theology. The whole purpose is that God might dwell among those who are rebellious. Now, of course, he's going to turn the rebellion first, but that's the whole idea. He is going to turn them from being rebellious, beginning with Israel, because Israel was rebellious at Mount Sinai. If God can do it for Israel, he has proved his capability of doing it with everybody else, because believe me, the house of Israel does not come off very well in Scripture, in God's description of their moral character. I would venture to say that the house of Israel is more stiff-necked than any other nation on the face of the earth. And God says, hey, I'm going to turn the hearts of Israel, and if I can do that, I can turn the hearts of anybody. It's easy to do everybody else if we can do Israel. Israel wasn't called because they were such good guys. You know, you go to a new school and there's the big bully there. Don't go after the little guys. You go after the bully first, and then everybody falls in line, right? That's kind of the same thing. If you can destroy the bully, everybody will leave you alone. Well, God is kind of doing it that way too. He takes the real challenge first, and everybody else falls in the line. Get the big guys first. The government, the beast nations who rule the system, that sets the people free, and then the world rejoices.